The views and opinions expressed on this program aren't necessarily those of this station, but those of the sponsors, Armada Advisors.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel on Monday, January 6, 2025. The number here to text in at 850-437-1620. And I'm so pleased to have as my guest on this Monday morning, Wesley Odom. Is that correct?
Yes.
Wesley Odom, who is with Armada Advisors. And I'm so excited to meet you. We have not met before. And so I'm anxious to hear about your company and who you are. And I've got a little information here that I'm going to share with our listeners.
Sure.
That you are the president and owner of Armada Advisors here in Pensacola. And they're located at 800 Northeast Street. 1800 Northeast Street. He has been doing financial advising for over 30 years. They currently manage about $165 million and specialize in all types of financial advising, from traditional wealth management, where he actually builds a portfolio of individual stocks and bonds and sometimes uses ETFs or mutual funds. He is active in the 401k industry and frequently serves as successor trustee and executor for clients. There's even a person on the staff who is a licensed guardian, and you also are a former naval officer and Vanderbilt University graduate.
That's right. They had a great season this year.
Yes, they did. I don't know if you know about me, but I'm a Georgia Bulldog.
Oh, really?
And I was actually relieved that we didn't play y'all this year.
I don't know.
We always play you on our homecoming, and I was like, oh, I'm so glad we're not playing Vandy this year, because y'all are really good this year.
We lucked out, I think, or something. That's a really good quarterback, that's for certain.
Absolutely. But it's fun. It was so much fun. So,
yeah, awesome.
And not surprisingly, we have so many folks who are affiliated in one way or the other with the Navy here in this area.
Amen.
So thank you for your service.
No problem.
Appreciate it. So what do you want to talk about, sir, this morning in terms of this is the time of year where people are really looking at their finances, the reality of what they've spent over the holidays, the reality of taxes coming up, and now where am I going to invest? What am I going to do? It's a new world with a new president coming in. I'm sure there are a lot of things that you could tell us to get ready for.
Sure. I think the first thing people do is they say, okay, how did I do last year?
Right.
You know, and they kind of have to assess that. And the next thing you have to do is, say, okay, was that good or was that bad? Am I above average, below average? Am I meeting my goals? What are my goals? I mean, and they always say every January you're supposed to establish some resolutions as to what you're going to accomplish.
We were just talking about that.
Oh, were you? Okay.
Yes.
Well, anyway, I think it's important to think about what you hope to do. I mean, most people, some people only think about the day's activities, or maybe they're going to go to work and that's about it. But, you know, what do you want to accomplish? What trips you want to do? You have a kid that has to be planned for, education. You know, do you want to retire early? Do you want to keep on working until you fall dead? Different things you got to assess. And then how much money will you need to retire comfortably to your standards of living? And so I think that there's a lot of things you have to create yourself. And then you can sit down with someone like myself and say, okay, where do you think I ought to invest? Because oftentimes when you invest one way, it necessarily is the way it's going to be the next year, for example. You might have to tweak the portfolio a little bit. Certainly interest rates are not what they were last year. Last year we had, really some pretty good interest rates for people who wanted to invest in fixed income. And those interest rates have been declining, and there's talk again of the Federal Reserve possibly cutting interest rates, which I think that's likely because of the real estate market situation in the economy and some other factors.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting. I was reading an article this morning talking about just facing the new year and making changes. I was surprised to read that a lot of people don't even have a budget. They haven't even sat down and done the budget for the year. And like you said, you've got to plan for vacations, for your kids, for college, for if you are going to retire. So this is something you could sit down with someone and really talk to them about getting all of that in order. Because I would imagine that gives people great peace of mind.
It does, I think, because you know where all the marbles are. You
right.
Know? I mean, that's the key.
We have a wing it society.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I have a tendency, sometimes I'll even my own budget, I'll be tracking along and everything, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, I'll miss a month or two. I'll just won't put it
right.
How much I spent or
right.
Something. It's like,
right.
what I do, you know? It's always the personal stuff. The corporate stuff, I'm always
we're good with that.
You're
right.
Good with the company. Everything's good. But sometimes you get so busy trying to do your what you should be doing, that you kind of forget yourself. And I think that's normal for any American. You know, mm-hmm. think about, oh, gosh, you know, I got to look out for everybody else, not necessarily me, whatever. And there's also things that keep on coming. You know, you say, oh, well, I really want to go out and have fun and everything. Does it make sense for me to save for retirement? Well, you know, it's so far a long way to be on it until you retire. But mm-hmm. as you know, Meg, you and I are older and
careful.
We're just older. And,
older. That's a good way to put
and,
it.
And, you know, it gets closer that goal line, whatever. You're like, gosh, it's no longer the 50 years it was when I was younger or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
When you're young, you don't want to think about it really. And you're sort of like, yeah, I'll think about that later. But you really cannot afford to do that.
Right.
You've got to make some plans. And part of it, too, I know, is investing in the stock market. And one of the things I'm curious about is I've been hearing so much in the last month about interest rates, stock market, da da da. You know, it's kind of overwhelming if you're not an expert. So tell me, do you think that what's going to happen now that we have a new president and the election year? How are things going to be affected with that?
Well, last year I was telling everybody at the program, I remember at the beginning of the year, last year was saying, you know, we ought to have a really good year in 24. And we did. We actually had a 23% year in the stock market, which is fantastic. And clients are asking me the same thing you are. What do you think 25 looks like? And unfortunately, I'm saying that I don't think it's going to be not anywhere near a 24 year where we got 23%. I don't think it's going to happen now. Now, you know,
why did that happen, do you think?
Well, you know, typically on election years, the market does really well historically.
Interesting. Why is that?
You know, I think there's a lot of factors. You know, you've got the party that's in control trying to push through a lot of legislation early in the year. The money gets out and kind of primes the pump, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got hope in the expectations of either party that's going to be able to continue what they perceive as good things or change things going forward. And you get a lot of optimism. I think that by and large, most Americans are optimistic. They believe that things are going to get better. And I'm thinking that things are going to get better for 25, but I don't think necessarily it's going to be a huge I think if we get single digits by the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
I'm talking at the market on average, I think that will be a good year for the market. I think there's certain sectors in the market that are going to do particularly well and probably do double digits. But you know, it's unrealistic to, for example, to me, 2025 reminds me of 1999-2000.
Mm-hmm.
In 1999-2000, you had the hottest sectors in 99 were technology, which was up 93%, and communication stocks, which were up like 40%. Well, that's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely huge. And people, I was in the business back then. I've been doing this for over 30 years. And in 2000, you know, the expectations were everything's going to get good because the mantra back then, you may recall, don't worry about earnings. Earnings will come. Earnings don't matter right now. It's all about the future. It's all about you've mm-hmm. got to go into these technology
that.
Stocks because they're going to make so much money because they're going to have less labor. They're going to be able to do things with the internet that you've never
right.
thought was possible. And A new age. That's right. And people are like going into these things. Well, in 2000, internet stocks, technology stocks were down like around 50% from 90, having been up 93%. Communication stocks, I think, were down like 30% maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were up 40. And so it was really bad. But if you look at the stocks that did well, they were the stocks that had really died in 1999, which were healthcare stocks down 9%. Real estate had lost money in 1999. And those stocks were up like 20-some-odd percent, along with consumer staples, which were up 20-some-odd percent in 2000. So as I look here today in 2024, 2025, you know, kind of situation, the hottest stocks in our market have been communications and technology. Those stocks were up like 30% roughly, okay, as in general. And then look at the stocks that were the weakest, healthcare, up 1% for the entire year, okay? Last year, they were one of the worst sectors. Okay, in 2022, not or 23, they were bad. 24, they were bad. Healthcare stocks. Okay, and then you look at real estate. Real estate stocks were in the tank. The worst performing sector last year was materials. Also, got to mention that back in 99, the U.S. dollar was the highest point it had been in a long, long time. Why? Because the United States government under Clinton and Congress and its Congress had actually had a budget surplus.
Mm-hmm.
A budget surplus. Imagine that if we had it today. We don't have a budget surplus. We have a high dollar now for weird reasons. The weirdest reasons is we have the strongest economy in the world, and everyone else is leveraged out to the hilt.
Right.
So we're leveraged, but we're not as leveraged as much as they are on a base on a relative basis. And when I say leverage, that means debt. You know, mm-hmm. There's a huge amount of debt overseas that we still have debt here. But you have a president, Trump, who's going to come into office, and his goal is to reduce deficit spend and get rid of the deficit. He can't get rid of it all together, but he wants to reduce spending, try to get that in line. So what that does is help props up the dollar to a greater extent. Well, what does that hurt? It hurts material stocks, because if you're materials and you're trying to sell your goods overseas, you have a strong dollar. They're going to be guys overseas are going to try to sell their cheapest stuff, you know, because they're going to be able to do that perhaps.
Could you give an example of material stocks?
Well, material stocks would be like Linde Air Products, mm-hmm. Freeport MacMoran produces copper, American Copper Company, Westlake produces PVC. Those are all material stocks. Gold stocks would be that, and gold is at relatively high.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to say is I think that it makes sense on where we're going to, what's going to happen in the future regarding the sectors. And I think that
right.
the sectors that could pull back this year have been really, really strong, because you see valuations where technology stocks, for example, are kind of expensive, some of them. There's one company called SCMI, which is a computer company, and it provides these data centers that allows people to go in and put their data elsewhere on their cloud, so to speak. Anyway, their stock is down tremendously, and they've had some problems with it. They were up probably at one point maybe 1,000%, and then they've crashed. You have a company that actually performed the best, I think, last year was 390-some-odd%. It was a company called Planeteer. A lot of people haven't heard of it.
No, I haven't. What is that?
It's a company that's a consulting company that advises the government how to use artificial intelligence.
Oh, that was going to be one of my questions for you, is how does the AI, how is that affecting the stock market now, and how does that... It has so many implications.
Well, that's draws me the parallel, this technology boom. You know, now the mantra is not earnings don't matter. Now the mantra is, what are you doing in the AI space? What is your company doing in artificial intelligence? Mm-hmm. That's what everyone wants to know. And a lot of companies are dedicating some money into it. I mean, you've got cars now that do more AI than they ever thought. You've got call centers, believe it or not. You can actually call a call center and the person will... or the computer will answer the phone. And before it was like just deadly, you know, you never
right.
wanted to deal with it. It was just the worst thing. And you kept on saying, operator, operator. And
right.
eventually we get a human person. Nowadays, you actually can talk in a regular conversation almost, and they'll route you to where you want to go. And it's all AI.
Gosh.
It's absolutely amazing. So, you know, if you're a call center worker, I kind of worry about that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
jobs will be lost.
Oh, absolutely. And no one's like talking about that very much,
mm-hmm.
you know, publicly. I mean, you can read it if you start delving back into it. But a company, NVIDIA, which has been on the forefront, we've had NVIDIA for our clients for a few years now, more than a few. And they've done particularly well. I was talking to one client. He's actually was up, I think, 120% last year in his portfolio, 124 to be exact.
Wow.
And anyway, he has a very aggressive portfolio. And a lot of NVIDIA, and he's had NVIDIA since 2018. I mean, he made so much money in NVIDIA. I said, you got to sell some stock and just go buy your vacation home you want to. So he did, and he still made money because he didn't sell all the NVIDIA.
Wow.
I mean, it's just a great company. But this company is producing these chips that are super, super fast
mm-hmm.
that can accomplish the real-time mechanisms that you and I can process in our brain very quickly,
right.
like in recognizing people and things of that nature. Oh, that's Aunt Susie or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It can do it very, very rapidly. And you have to have that to do this artificial intelligence, and this company is on the forefront of that. Well, they have said that they anticipate that once they get their AI gets implemented, whatever, it can result in a 5% reduction in global workforce. Imagine that, 5% reduction in global workforce.
Wow.
That's a lot of people who are shifting to other occupations.
And what are they going to do?
I don't know, but you know, I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, because a lot of that's, you know, manual labor, especially now too. I pay attention to what IHMC is doing, and it's very interesting, the robotics, mm-hmm. the replacements, because right. now the robots have AI within their circuitry, so to speak. That's almost scary.
I went to a restaurant the other day. It was on 9 Mile Road. It's a great little Vietnamese place, and it had a robot that came and actually delivered the food. And
no,
a robot
kidding.
Came and collected the, you know, so you put your plate, you know, take the dishes to the kitchen. And
oh,
stuff.
No.
A robot.
Wow.
It's like, whoa.
Wow. We don't want to hear that in Pensacola Beach. There's a lot of people, a lot of kids in college making their money serving.
Well, I just think it's a new world. I mean, now these kids are going to have to go to school and be in engineers to program this stuff or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's a new world. But, you know, fortunately, mankind has always been able to adapt. I mean, they had problems in, back in England when they did the Industrial Revolution. A lot of people coming from the farms and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You have some of the same problems in modern-day China. We have people who have come to the big cities hoping to, quote, get rich, and find out with dismay it's not as easy as they thought it would be.
Right.
So, you know, it's a big problem that we've got to deal with as a nation. But anyway, I think that – so the bottom line is, you know, where should people be on going forward? I think that this year the best-performing securities are going to be healthcare companies – are going to do particularly well. I think that real estate is going to do well because they are going to lower interest rates. Right now we're at the, I read we're the lowest existing home sales in the United States last 40 years. I know I went back and looked at it from 2008 standpoint. I mean, they're selling a lower number of houses across the United States than they did in 08. In 08, we had a housing problem.
That's
I mean, a mortgage problem,
that's
big mortgage problem.
Yeah, that's
now we have no mortgage problem. We have people who are in these houses paying 3%, 4% mortgages. Why should I get a 7% mortgage?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
You know, and they can tell the kids, hey, just get in a bunk bed. You know,
exactly.
We're going to deal with it. We're going to
mm-hmm.
live with it
mm-hmm.
Because it makes sense, because they're already spending money, you know, extra money at the grocery store, extra money to go out to eat, extra
right.
money to go on the vacation to Pensacola Beach, hopefully, or whatever. You know, I mean, you know, so the whole nine yards. I mean, you got to be realistic about it. So I think that that's going to happen until some bank comes up with an idea saying how can we swap someone's mortgage and allow them to keep the old mortgage intact or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's ways you can do it in certain mortgages, but there's got to be a human's got to figure that out.
Right. Well, you sound so knowledgeable about all of this. Obviously, with your 30 years of experience, that makes a big difference. So how did some of your clients do last year?
Well, I mean, as I told you, the best guy who did that 124, I think a lot of clients, more middle of the road clients who were diversified, did anywhere from like 23 to 35%, somewhere around there.
That's pretty remarkable, isn't it?
It did really well. It was a blessed market for us. And we were very happy. More conservative clients were probably in like the 12% range, I would say.
That's still great, isn't it?
It's good for conservative clients. I think it is. I mean, you know, that's so anyway, we're feeling good about it. You know, it's always about what have you done for me, you know, lately, and what are you going to do for me next? I mean, it's always that, you know, okay, you won the fight, so to speak. Let's look forward. Of course, I'm sure some clients are probably going to call me up and say, how come I don't have the 120% portfolio? Because you're not as aggressive as this guy is.
Right, right.
He's pretty aggressive.
So the folks that were kind of, I know it felt like this year there were a lot of question marks. So I'm imagining some people have kind of kept their money in their cash, their money markets, that kind of thing. What next? Do they stay with that, or do they make some changes now? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, if they kept their money in the bank per se, they still were getting almost 0% even the bank. The bank gave them a little maybe teaser rates of 1%, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, that was better than zero, but they're going to head back to zero if the Fed keeps on cutting. Most high market money market accounts were at some point above 5% last year. They're not paying 5% now. Currently, the rate is around 4% on the money markets on most competitive money market accounts. And then they're going to be dipping beneath that when the Fed cuts. I would think the next time the Fed meets, it could happen. Perhaps we could see a cut of maybe 0.25%. So you've got two things here in the market. You've got you know, the fact we've got in the technology and communication sector, and the communication sector includes companies like Netflix and Facebook, which is also
social
called
media.
Meta, Google, which is now called Alphabet. These are all communication stocks. You've got those stocks have moved up quite a bit. Not to say they can't move forward, but they've moved up quite a bit. Could see some sideways movement. And then you've got technology stocks, which some of them sell at really high premiums. I refer to that one company called Planeteer, which is, you know, their valuation is compared to what they earn is just out of the, off the charts, off the radar. But I know, you know, they need common sense in Washington, so maybe that's why they keep on going back to the same consulting firm. But anyway, you've got the earnings situation, which is eventually going to result in whether stocks go up or down. But you also have interest rates, and interest rates go further downward. And if that could happen, then that's kind of like the caffeine rush that the market likes. So okay. Today, for example, I think the last time I looked, the stock market was up. So why? Well, the feeling is that there really is going to be a reduction in interest rates. The economy kind of points that direction a little bit. Some of the recent data that's coming out in employment. And so if that is the case, then that gives you more reasons to get excited about it. Now, is it going to go up 23% though? I don't think so. I think that it will be a single digit year perhaps. So we're going to have a lot of peaks and troughs. We've still got some things we've got to deal with. I'm optimistic about what can happen with reduction of the federal deficit, with what Trump can do with Doge and all that kind of good stuff. I'm very optimistic about Congress actually getting something done for once.
That would be nice.
That would be nice. we're paying them to do that, and mm-hmm. they're not been doing it. So anyway, and there'll be winners and losers. And I just think it's very important to have a diversified portfolio, obviously, but one focus on some sectors that have been dogs for a little while, like the healthcare sector, because that's some sector you've got to have.
So I'm curious, if someone came to you and they're fresh out of college, they're starting in a new job, maybe just getting their family started, that kind of thing. I mean, that really is, wouldn't you say, the ideal time to get started?
Well, you know, whenever you have spare money, it's always a good time to get started.
That's the good times. You know? If you win the lottery.
before you even take the check, you need to go see a CPA first and try to figure out what you're going to do about
taxes.
Because
that's, to me, where the budget comes in. But then if you are setting aside the funds, I mean, I was always taught that it makes sense to invest versus just keeping it in under your mattress.
Absolutely. I mean, first thing you could do is do an IRA for yourself if you wanted to. An IRA, people can put in $7,000 a year right now. If you're underneath 50, if you're over 50 years of age, you can do over an extra $1,000. So that's a total of $8,000 for those people. And, you know, that's a good deal to begin. I mean, you got to start somewhere. Also, you can't just do it at the bank per se. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you did it at a bank and got, 3% or whatever, it might double in 72 years or not 72, 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be crazy. You give up 21 years or to have your money double for your $8,000 you put in, your $7,000, you wait that. That's crazy. The 3% interest rate is silly. You've got to go for securities. You end up buying the products every day. Mm-hmm. You know, you could buy the S&P 500 if you wanted to. Now, have there been times where the S&P 500 went down? Yes. And back in 2022, I believe it was down 18%. Scared a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You got to anticipate that there's volatility to that. You know,
right.
But if long term, you're going to be able to weather the storm. You're going to do better, especially if you're a young person like you're talking about. One person actually called me up one time, a little lady, and she said, "I heard you do education funding." I said, "Yeah, yes, ma'am, we do." And he says, "When's your daughter planning to go to college?" She says, "She just graduated from high school." And I said to her, "Well, have you ever been to Biloxi?"
Oh,
gee. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I said, "That's where you need to go."
Oh.
I can't do it in 3 months.
Oh, gosh. All right. On that note, we're going to take a little break here for the news and find out what's happening in the world. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. I have Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors here and just a plethora of knowledge that will help you in 2025. If you got questions, 850-437-1620. We'll be back after the news. Pensacola's expert panel. This is Meg on January 6th on a Monday with News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. My guest this morning is Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors. If you've got a question, this is the time to ask. Just give us a call or actually text in at 850-437-1620. So much happening in the world. We were just, as we took the break here and listening to the news, we were talking about so many of the different things. But it's interesting, how much does war, the things that are happening in the Middle East or Ukraine, not to get into the politics of all of it, but how does that affect if I'm sitting down and trying to decide where to invest this year? There must be, I know it affects the market, but a lot, a little? What are your thoughts on all of that?
There's certain industries, of course, that are like defense contractors who are going to make more money. Like the drone manufacturers, for example, this company called Aero Environment has done particularly well in the drone manufacturing aspect of the war. But fundamentally, there's other companies that are going to have minimal impact. You know,
right.
For example, like Amazon. You know, a lot of Americans buy Amazon products or use Amazon as a conduit to buy products. And you know, is that going to if Ukraine does Ukraine affect Amazon? No, they don't even have any operations in Ukraine. You know, they certainly aren't delivering any things in Gaza either. You know, there's no Amazon drone delivery anything. So,
right.
You know, you're not, there are certain industries and certain securities you could purchase that are insulated, I think, from those type conflicts. Will certain companies get bigger government contracts? Perhaps, yes. But, you know, you've got a candidate, President Trump, coming in who's saying, I really want to end this conflict. I think that the no sides are winning this conflict. And I think that's true. I think that there's thousands of men on both sides who've gotten killed, and women for that matter. And and they haven't moved very much in the lines. Mm-hmm. So you have a World War I type scenario. Is that really worth it? I mean, who wins in that situation?
It does feel like a no win at this point.
Right. Maybe it wins for somebody. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know who. But anyway, the defense contractors are liking it, I guess. But because they're selling more bullets, so
right,
to speak, you
right.
know. So, but is that really what we want long term?
No.
You know, is it good for the world? You know, I don't think so. So
these are the big questions. Well, here's an easier question.
Sure.
So, with everything that's happening in the Middle East, I know folks have invested in oil stocks. How is that all affected with the Middle East situation?
You know, oil stocks. Last year didn't do that well. I think they were up maybe 1-2%, something like that. Maybe a little bit more than that. And of course Trump wants to build drill baby drill, and that's going to be interesting because the supply could increase, and if there's not the demand has to if there's not is not not a huge amount of demand for that oil, then you get cheaper prices, and cheaper prices are not going to really help the oil industry to a great extent, except for the big majors. The big majors are going to they've got such access to cheap oil, they're going to be able to do real well. So it makes sense to not be wildcatting, i.e. speculating in wildcat drilling, things like that. You want to invest in securities and companies that are more secure and have deep wells, so to speak, and wells in place that are really have been around a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
So they can have low cost of low expenses. That's what you want to do. So I think that oil should do well in 2000, for example. I keep on talking about 1999, 2000. Oil companies did particularly well. They're up double digits. That could happen in the United States. But we'll see. I think that if it did, it would be, it wouldn't be like, I think if it happened, it would be maybe 12-18%. That'd be the height I would see oil going this year.
That's so interesting. Okay, so here's the one that I hear everything about, and being of my generation, I know very little about crypto, Bitcoin, and all of the above. Can you talk about that a little bit, Wesley, and just maybe how that works in comparison to the other investments? And is this a good time? Is this something that you find is working? Is it not working? Is this something of the future? Is it a passing fad? I have about a billion questions on this one. Sorry to do this to you. And by the way, 850-437-1620, you're listening to Pep Talk, and I have Wesley Odom here with Armada Advisors. So this is a good morning to ask questions.
If you want to own Bitcoin,
mm-hmm.
I would only recommend that you'd own it in a very small way.
Okay.
Just like if you want to own gold in your portfolio, most financial advisors say you don't want to own more than 10% of your portfolio in gold because it's that point it becomes really speculative. I have very few clients in Bitcoin. Mostly, I think an interesting way to play it, I know I personally play it this way, is in a company called MicroStrategy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a company that invests in Bitcoin and actually leverages their, in other words, when they say leverage, they go out and it will borrow dollars, okay, like issue a bond guaranteed by the company and use the proceeds from that to go out and buy Bitcoin. So in other words, you get a company that's leveraging their bottom line into mm-hmm. Bitcoin. That's one way to play it if you want to play it and have liquidity and be able to get out easily.
Sounds safer.
I think so, and you get a little bit more bang for the buck. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's a leverage play, but again, it's only for the faint of heart. It's not something I would put in your core portfolio. I think that no one knows there's no way to value Bitcoin other than technical analysis. There's two ways to typically value a stock. One, fundamentally, are they making money? And then technically, should I arrive at the airport 5 minutes before the plane takes off, or 10 minutes before the plane takes off, or 30 minutes before the plane takes off?
Mm-hmm.
Most people like to arrive at the airport just before the plane takes off so they can get out of here.
Guilty. Okay?
That's right. No one likes sitting and waiting, right?
Right.
Well, in certain cases, and when you evaluate a stock technically, some people see it really, really cheap. They go, oh, that's so cheap. Well, it might be cheap, but it might be cheap for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a leisure suit, you know?
Oh,
would
yeah.
you ever want to go to the store right now to go to Dillard's and say, I'm looking for leisure suits? People would say, no way, man. We don't sell that. We haven't sold that since 1980, you know? So but somebody might do that and thinking they're going to come back. I don't think it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that would be a technical play of saying, I want to buy it so cheap. This leisure suit so cheap. I'm going to buy it. And I think it's going to come back in style. It's not though. It's going to keep on, trend lining sideways to dead.
Right.
Okay. Bitcoin, you know, you can look at the chart. It certainly has a very attractive chart to buy it,
mm-hmm.
but there's nothing behind it other than I feel good.
Well, it seems like such a strange phenomena to me. I didn't know if this is sort of a fad or if this really is the wave of the future and the direction, in the same way that when computers and cell phones came on the scene. You know, it's like
right.
Now we've got this new thing. Is it valid? Is it credible? Because then I've heard of quite a few stories. I've seen a documentary on some of the folks that kind of were fraud scams, all that kind of stuff. It seems a very, I could be wrong because I will own it. I do not know much about the market, but it just seems like there's a lot of possibility for scams being taken advantage of.
Oh, yeah. People lost millions of dollars in the Sam Bankman-Fried.
Yes,
he was running this exchange telling people he was buying all this crypto. He wasn't. He was just pocketing the money as a Ponzi scheme. So if you're going to do Bitcoin, you know, it would be best to do it with, we custody with Fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
And Fidelity actually has a Bitcoin fund that you can buy. It's fully liquid. They also, you can buy MicroStrategies, any particular exchange. I think they're trading on the NASDAQ. But it would make sense to do it with a custodian that's reputable. You know, there was a situation that happened one time within the last year where our client, I actually called him up and I said, you know, he had a weird, something happened in your portfolio. A trade went out. Or some money went out, and they looked into it and found out that someone had a bad person had come in, stolen their identity.
Oh no!
And pulled money out of their account, and we notified Fidelity, and Fidelity immediately refunded their money, and got them new accounts and made everything whole. So I mean, that's the kind of company you want.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I've been working with Fidelity ever since I became an independent registered investment advisor. And I think it's the best custodian I've ever worked with. And I'd worked for a previous wirehouse before that for 17 years. So another place. And it's just great. They have great systems. They stand behind their product. They're not nickel and diming people. They're the reason they're the largest custodian in the world for retirement savings and investments. I mean, they do a good job.
Well, to me, credibility and accountability are probably the most important things in terms of being in the stock market.
Absolutely.
I'll never forget when they had the Ponzi scam, and I can't think of his name now, that he went to jail, the big one.
Sam Bankman-Fried.
Bankman-Fried.
Big haircut guy.
And what was it, Madoff?
Oh, Madoff, yeah.
Yeah.
That was years before that. He was doing different things. He was doing like designing portfolios and actually... it was all fictitious. It was all in a money market account somewhere.
Yeah, I know. It was wild.
Yeah,
so,
it was
crazy. You want to make sure that someone is reputable. So I'm assuming that with your connections to Fidelity, the fact that you've been in this community really your whole life,
right.
you have people who are your clients that you've known probably for years and years that trust you. And that says a lot to me.
That's the number one reason anyone does business with anybody else. They trust, they trust you. And that's the key. You got to have that, and you also got to be able to put your money where your mouth is, and it would make sense. And that's why we take, great pains to not treat people like a pie chart. I mean, I know sometimes you can walk into a firm or something, and they say, well, this is the pie chart, and you should have so much in small caps, so much in big caps.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. How do you split it all up?
You know, I think what's on sale. you know, when I go to the store, when I go to like Dillard's or something, mm-hmm. or go shopping, you know, someplace, I'm looking for the bargains. I'm looking for what I need.
Right.
And what's going to last.
Right.
You know?
The longevity is important.
Absolutely. And also quality. I remember going to, when I was first young, right out of college and in the Navy, I went to the grocery store and I saw this Janet Lee macaroni and cheese. And I thought, oh, how cheap it is compared to Kraft. I'm going to try that out. I ate some. Oh, my gosh.
There was a reason for
There's
that.
A reason. The price is an issue and an absence of value. There was no value here. There was no value.
I have not heard of Janet Lee's macaroni and cheese.
Oh, my gosh. So, anyway, I ate Kraft forever or more. I'll be a Kraft man, you know? I mean, it makes sense. I'll pay a premium.
Right.
That's what you want to do. And you got to do the premium for anyway, you got to get premium for advice too. I think it makes sense. You
well,
know?
I remember years and years and years ago, I'm really dating myself, that Procter & Gamble was one of the big.
Procter & Gamble's a good company.
Is it still?
Yeah, it's a good company. We have it like in some of our, a lot of our clients' portfolios. It's like, I think maybe 0.7% of people's portfolios sometimes.
So that's kind of a diehard, an old one, right? That'd be like an
it
old.
It is a good, they have a great depth constant. Of products and whatnot. You're talking to, you know, a sustainable company. I mean, look at Walmart last year. We have a Walmart in a lot of people's portfolios, and it was up like, I think, 60% or something maybe last year.
So who's your favorite? Who are your favorites?
Oh, for this year?
Yeah, coming up now.
Well, I think this year, I think healthcare stocks are going to do the best.
Who should my sort of solid ones be? And then if I've got a portfolio going already, who should I add now? Or you know, that's kind
I,
of
I think it, I think there would be a basket of companies that will do well in this year, like in healthcare. I think healthcare will be the best performing.
That's interesting. And why is that, do you think?
Well, because they lost money in 24 and 23. Mm-hmm. And they have, and, you know, these are great quality companies. I mean, certainly we've had clients who've owned Eli Lilly. I know I was looking at one client's account. He's probably up 500% in his Eli Lilly over the last few years, or so, maybe three years. I don't know. But anyways, Eli Lilly makes this drug, you know, the GLP ones, mm-hmm. like Ozempic, which mm-hmm. is made by Novo Nordisk.
Right.
We've owned Novo Nordisk for some clients too. Anyway, the Eli Lilly is their GLP drugs, which is called Wegovy.
Right.
It's a little bit more effective than percentage-wise than Ozempic. Ozempic's still good. Mm-hmm. A little bit more effective. And so I think their stock could do particularly well. There was a poll the other day that said that 25% of all Americans said that they want to, or 26% said that they want to take one of those pills in their resolutions for 25. Now, if that happens, that's going to be huge for the company.
Mm-hmm.
Both those companies are going to do really, really well. There's another company I like a lot in that space. It's called Amgen. And Amgen,
I've seen the ads, I believe.
Yeah, Amgen's in phase two of a drug that's in similar type, GLP type drug that's done particularly well in this phase two findings. They said that they reduce people's weight, I think, by 20 or 25% in a year.
Wow!
Can you imagine that big of a drop in a year in your weight? That's huge. So anyway, in their way they're going about their treatment is a little different than the other two manufacturers. And what's interesting is they're saying that they think that their particular drug will be longer lasting. So the problem that most of these Wegovy and Ozempic drugs have been is that you take them and you stop taking them, 4 out of 5 people start developing the old habits again, and, mm-hmm. and they're back in the same, you know, bad path.
Well, it's affecting your body chemistry, so then when it goes back, and then you have the cravings again. Because I think the biggest thing is it stops the cravings, and it works on whatever the cortisol and the different things in your brain that cause you to want to eat and then overeat. Because the big thing about the Ozempic drugs, I think, is the idea that you feel full.
Right.
So you don't eat as much. And then the way, my understanding of the way that it's processed digestively is different. So the minute you stop taking it, all bets are off.
Right, right. And so Amgen says that their drug should be longer lasting. We'll see if that happens. They're going to come off phase three, I think, sometime in 25. That'll be interesting for the drug. After they published the phase two findings, they actually started, the stock went down. And as of the rest of healthcare, I mean, UnitedHealthcare is going down. A lot of good healthcare companies have gone down, and this shouldn't happen. You can't have I know that the Republicans tend to be seen as anti-healthcare kind of compared to the Democratic Party, but by the end of the day, we all have to have healthcare. We all have to have drugs And these companies are really working on some amazing drugs that are going to enhance lives and extend life. So I think that healthcare is not going to go away, and I'm banking on healthcare, a basket of healthcare companies.
Okay, so this is so interesting to me because in your position, you become an expert on so many different industries, so many different businesses, and how they're affected. How do you keep up with it all? And I'm right now thinking I probably wouldn't sleep well at night. What keeps you up at night? with all of this on your, I mean, there's so much to keep. There's so much to keep up with today.
Well, I worry about some big positions that we've cultivated in people's portfolios have done particularly well for them. For example, I've named some names and they're up a lot. Okay. And as a result, when you get bigger and bigger part of your portfolio, like if you bought Amazon back in the day and Amazon is now, 15% of your portfolio and you're like, is there anything wrong with Amazon? No, they own the planet. They're going to own more of the planet.
Right.
Actually, they don't own the planet now. They own probably America. They're going to own the rest of the planet. and they're already selling internationally in certain countries. So, that kind of worries me a little bit in the sense, you have to think about that. And I did this it's easy to do in an IRA because in an IRA, you have a client. I did this recently. We started to reduce the risk by diversifying in more securities.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, we take the profits and as much as Amazon. We don't have, let's say, we made a 500% return in Amazon. Let's go ahead and take some of that profit, redeploy it in other sectors, keep 3% of the portfolio, for example, in Amazon, but put it in other things so that if Amazon takes a hit like it did 2 years ago where it went down 50%, okay, that's not going to be a factor,
mm-hmm.
a big factor like it was.
So the diversification is key.
Yeah, it's key. So that's why I worry about, when you have a conversation with somebody who has a taxable account and you're up 1,000% in your NVIDIA or whatever, and you've only owned it since 2018, you're like, whoa, I don't want to take the hit. I don't want to take the taxes on that. Well, you don't. You don't want to take it. But you're going to hang on to it because there's nothing fundamentally wrong with the company.
Right. Okay. So what's the weirdest thing you've ever invested in or the thing that you thought for sure was going to be a winner and it tanked?
Oh, man.
You should see his face right now. Sorry.
We all have had those moments where, things just didn't work out. I think the worst thing I think I remember is investing in, a speculative bond many years ago. And then the company was really on the borderline of misleading people about how things were going to be so great. And what happened is the oil prices back in early 2000s, whatever, oil went down.
Mm-hmm.
And the time they were talking about, we're never going to run out of oil. There's no much oil. And, but this is pre-fracking.
Right.
And so anyway, in this particular oil company was more speculative, and anyway, it filed for bankruptcy. And we ended up selling it before it filed for bankruptcy.
Whew, okay.
But still, anybody in your portfolio, you get irritated by that. That you were anticipating that a bond was going to perform really well, and it didn't. So that was probably the worst experience. And so, I put into methods to prevent that from occurring. There's some certain safeguards now. That's what you do with investing. You do learn and you have to react. And even Warren Buffett he's one of the best investors, one of the best investors of all time. And he lost like so many billion dollars. I remember reading his annual report and some trade he did. It was all for preferred security or something. And
I
can't imagine, this is the wealthiest guy in the world. He loses $1 billion or plus. But like he said, you learn, you learn and it's part of investing. You're going to have problems. So anyway, you have to minimize those. And that's what we try to do down here is you minimize the risk and you identify what kind of risk you want to take.
Mm-hmm. So are you a risk taker?
Well, if to invest, you have to pay some risk, but I don't go to Biloxi, let's put it that way. Okay, I think that's crazy to go to Biloxi and put money down and walk away and you're nothingness.
Right.
When you buy securities through Armada Advisors, we're doing it with the expectations you're going to make money.
Right.
This is not like a bet.
Right. Right. Yep. Well, no. And that's the thing is that you have the knowledge, the research, the experience to take risk, but not risk that's going to be a jeopardy.
Right. Right. You always invest in any security. There's always upside risk and downside risk, especially, you know, because someone could come in and say, I had a 5-year time horizon and all of a sudden I decided I want to do something else with my money. Well, some of your securities are down. I know. I didn't fulfill my time. You were in there for 6 months, whatever. Things have changed, you know. What happens if you have a nuclear war? What's it going to do to the stock market? I guarantee it's going to go down. You know what I mean?
More ways than
but
one.
Then you're going to have other problems.
Right,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Who cares about what you had in the portfolio? You know? Can't you imagine the conversations you had with people? Yeah, before the nuclear war, I had a lot of money in the market. I was making so many good money.
No. I'm glad we're laughing about it right now.
So, yeah, it's funny to laugh about it, but it's not funny when you think about really what could happen. We pray that that never happens.
No, of course not. All right, well, here's a little bit more conservative question. So we have the new what are the new IRA contribution limits for 2025?
7,000 for less than 50, 8,000 if you're over 50.
8,000, okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah. All right, we have a few minutes left. Okay. Is there anything that you'd like to add, Wesley, this morning about your company, about you, and any advice you might have for someone that maybe is, it can't be intimidating to get into the market and to meet with a financial advisor.
Well,
how do you get over that?
I think the kind of guy who comes to us is someone who's possibly been an advisor, didn't really get good service.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the guy put them in an annuity, which we don't do at Armada Advisors, and really kind of doesn't help them. I know we had a client who transferred the account from Merrill Lynch the other day, and he said, I'm so pleased with you guys. You actually are, because he transferred his account. It was like really, really weird, the diversified, and we re-diversified him, and he's making money now. He's like,
oh my gosh.
He says, you guys are making my day.
All right. How can folks get in touch with you and give a website, phone numbers, that kind of thing? We're out of time.
850-497-6167 at armadaadvisors.com.
What phone number? One more time.
850-497-6167.
Thank you. This just flew by. Thank you so much, Wesley, for being here. I've learned a lot this morning, and I hope you have. We'll be back tomorrow on Pep Talk right here at 9 o'clock. Thanks again. Have a great day.
Appreciate it.